Good morning. Are you glad to be here today? We are in our fall series that started 4 weeks ago already. Is that crazy? October's almost gone. The series is entitled what? How to what? What was the first week? How to be a friend. The second week, PD talked about how to pray. Last week, Nick shared with us how to what? Do you have any difficult people in your life? We had some really good advice on how to get along with difficult people. Today we're going to tackle another fun one. How to forgive. Do you have any person you need to forgive in your life today? What causes you and I to be in a place where we must either ask for or receive forgiveness? How do we get there? It's a three-letter word, starts with an S, ends with an I, N, and I is in the middle, right? So we can put ourselves in the middle of that. S-I-N, sin, that's what it is. Sin is what we do when we are not fully satisfied with God. Ouch. Sin is what we do when we are not fully satisfied with God. Now, when you think about in the beginning, God created everything out of nothing. And then he created man, and he breathed life into man. And man had the whole garden of paradise to deal with. Problem was, he got lonely. So God decided he needed to take a rib and make what? Make a woman. Hubba hubba, naked and not afraid in the paradise that God made in this garden. And they lived with, get this, they lived with no sin, no suffering, no sorrow, no sickness. They had one rule. Do you remember the one rule? Don't eat from that one tree. And they could not keep the rule. So another S showed up, and it was the serpent called what? Satan. Another S showed up. See, what we have to remember is he shows up. Eve takes the fruit, she eats, she gives to her husband, he eats, and then what happened? The blame game. Have you ever played the blame game before? Eve blamed the serpent, Adam blamed Eve, and he also blamed God for that. But what we have to remember is this, you and I broke the system. No, Adam and Eve did. Well, we still are part of that sin handed down from generation to generation. So you and I broke the system. And we broke the system because guess what? We wanted to be like who? We wanted to be like God. That's, after all, if you eat from this tree, you will know what? Good and evil, like God. So it boils down to the fact we broke the system. We wanted to be like God. Turn to Romans 3:23. That's the first verse I remember learning when I got saved. Probably everyone in this room can quote that verse. Romans 3:23. It says, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation, all the verses are today. For everyone has sinned, we all fall short of God's glorious standard. How many have sinned? All have sinned and all fall short. So if we move ahead to 1 John 1:9, there's hope for you and I. Because in 1 John 1:9 it says, but if we confess our sins, he is what? He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all wickedness or all unrighteousness. So what does it mean to confess? You ever pondered on that question? What does it really mean to confess? A man returned to his car in a parking lot and found a note underneath his wiper blade. And this is what it said. I just smashed into your car. And people who are witnessing this collision are watching me. And they're probably thinking I'm writing down my name and my address and my phone number. They would be wrong. I am not. And that's all that was on the note. Now, is that a confession? It is. He confessed to running into the car, right? But there's nothing else there. So what does it truly mean to confess? It's a lot more than just admitting that we have sinned. True? It's a lot more than just saying, hey, I run into your car. There's no information there. Confessing sin actually means that you and I call sin what God calls sin. what he calls it. Because true confession is specifically naming the sin that we have. And God has specific names for it if you go through the Bible. I'll just give you a few. Lust, hatred, deceit, envy, adultery. And the list can go on. You name it, whatever it is. Johnny and Sally were visiting their grandparents, and Johnny was given a slingshot. Any guy ever been given a slingshot before when you were a kid? We've all had slingshots, right? He practiced in the woods, but he could never hit his target. As he came back into Grandma's yard, he spotted her pet duck. And on impulse, he took aim. And guess what? He let it fly, and he hit the duck, and it fell dead. Johnny panicked, and he desperately was going to figure out what he had to do. So guess what he did? He hid the duck in the woodpile, only to look up and see that his sister was watching. She had seen everything, but she said nothing. After lunch that day, Grandma said, "Sally, let's wash the dishes." But Sally said, "Johnny told me that he wanted to help you in the kitchen, didn't you, Johnny?" And she goes, "Remember the duck." So guess what? Johnny did the dishes. A little later, Grandpa asked if the kids wanted to go fishing. And Grandma says, no, we can't do that. Sally's got to help me make supper. And Sally piped up and she goes, "That's all taken care of, Grandma. Johnny wants to help you." And she goes, "Remember the duck." After several days of Johnny doing both his chores and Sally's chores, he finally had enough and he couldn't stand it any longer. He went to his grandmother and he confessed to killing the duck. And this is what Grandma said. "I know, Johnny," giving him a hug. "I was standing at the window and I saw the whole thing. Because I love you, I forgive you. I wondered how long you would allow Sally to make you a slave." Now, isn't that how it is? I mean, think about how perfect of a picture that is of God. Because that's how God sees us with our sin. We're afraid to go to him and confess it, but he's already forgiven us because he loves us. He's just waiting for what? He's waiting for us to come and ask for that forgiveness. He's just waiting. See, true confession is naming specifically what God calls it. And that's what we had to do. He confessed that he what? He killed the duck. And he said he was sorry. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So on what basis, according to Scripture, does God forgive us when we look at 1 John 1:9? Because there's a key there. It first of all says, if we, what? If we confess, he is faithful and just to forgive. So there's a step there. We first of all have to confess that sin. Those two words alone, faithful and just, should keep us from sinning. They really should keep us from sinning. Because do we really need to be reminded what it cost God to save us? It cost him his son. Yet we tread on that so loosely at times. The next time that you and I willfully choose to either sin or we plan to sin, I think we need to remember that we are sinning against a faithful, just, loving God. Amen? We need to remember that because it's very important. Turn to 1 John 2:1. 1 John 2:1. "My dear children, I am writing this to you so that you will" what? "You will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. He's Jesus Christ, the one who truly is righteous." Here's the good picture of it. So God is the judge sitting at the bench. Jesus is our defense attorney. Sitting at the table with him is you and I. He's pleading our case to the judge. But not only does Jesus plead our case to the judge, what does he do? He takes our sentence. You and I don't have to serve the sentence because he actually will take the sentence. And if you and I believe what the Scripture says, God is light and in him there is no darkness, then what do you think you and I should try to start doing? We need to start walking in the light. And walking in the light, first of all, starts out with obeying God. We have to obey his word. And as we do that, we start spending more time in his word. And does anybody do daily devotions? And do we do our daily devotions just because we have a list and we can, okay, check, I got my devotion done? Because if that's how we do our devotions, how effective is that for us? So we need to spend quality time in His Word, and then we discover His will for our lives. And as we do that, guess what you and I are going to want to do? We're going to want to start obeying Him. I've heard it said that God's love language is what? You heard this? Obedience. God's love language is obedience, because obedience proves to Him that you and I love Him. And there's usually three motives to obedience. See if you've fallen into one of these three categories. We have to, we need to, or we want to. We have to, we need to, or we want to. Think of a slave. A slave obeys because he what? He has to. Because if he doesn't, he will be punished. Kind of like Johnny. He was a slave to his sister. And until he confessed it, he broke that after that. So a slave obeys because he has to. An employee obeys because he needs to. You and I may not like the job we do, but we sure like that paycheck at the end of the week or month that helps supply and meet our needs, true? So we do that with an employer because we have to. And then number three is a Christian obeys his Heavenly Father because he wants to. Because you and I get to the point where we want to have that loving, growing personal relationship with God. Listen to what John 14:15 says. If you love me, obey my commandments. And this is actually how you and I learned as kids the obedience, because we obeyed because we what? We had to, or we would be disciplined or spanked. True? We obeyed as kids that way. And as we grew up, we discovered that obedience meant enjoyment of certain rewards. And then it met certain needs that we had. And then as we got more mature, we started obeying our parents because we actually love them. They are looking out for our best interest. So we've looked at sin. We've looked at confession, which leads to today, how to forgive. How to forgive. So the simple question is simply this: what is forgiveness? We probably can call it a lot of different things, but what is forgiveness? Let me share with you what forgiveness is not first. This is what it is not. It's not a feeling. It's not forgetting that it happened to you, and it's not excusing the offender. That's what it's not. Have you ever committed a sin? Went to God, asked Him to forgive you, but you still feel lousy? Have you ever done that before? You still feel terrible. Why does that happen? Why are we so unable to forgive ourselves at times? Have you noticed that? Are we going to continue to go back to God time and time again and ask for forgiveness for the same sin over and over and over again? Is that what He wants you and I to do? Because if we're living there, we're living in bondage. We're not living a healthy life. You do realize you only have to ask God to forgive you that sin one time, right? Just one time. The problem is we continually play it over and over in our mind, and we have to forgive ourselves 100 times, and we say it over and over until it sinks in. But here's my advice for us today. We simply have to say to Satan, get behind me, because he's the one that's trying to get you to dwell on this. We need to tell him to get behind us and simply say this to yourself: God has forgiven me, it's over. God has forgiven me, and it's over. Here's what forgiveness is, and this might be something you might jot down: a decision modeled after God's forgiveness for us. And here's the key part to that. This is a decision not to hold an offense against the offender. It's a decision not to hold an offense against the offender. We should be following God's example. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll look at that together. In my Bible, there's like a subtitle. It starts with verse 17, and it talks about instructions for Christian living. And that, to me, it looks like a list of do's and don'ts. But it sums up perfectly with verse 32 in Ephesians chapter 4, which says, instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted. What's the next word? What is it? Forgiving one another, just as Christ has forgiven you. See, forgiveness is hard. Would you agree with that? It's hard. It really is. And many of us will struggle with bitterness and resentment. When you and I choose to forgive, we are going to lay down our rights for justice. It's going to cost you and I something. But we have to remember, it cost God a lot more. It cost God His Son on the cross. The key to this, I think, is you and I have to finally figure out that we can not ultimately do this in our own strength. Have you figured that out yet? In your own strength, it's really tough to do. It's tough to do. I don't know about you, but I want to do it my way. How about you? I want to do it my way. But it's still so hard because we just can't get it through our heads that He wants us to come to Him. He wants us to come to Him. Forgiveness is going to cost us something. You and I have to go to God and remember that it's only Him that can give us the desire and the ability to truly forgive others. You're in Ephesians, flip one book to Philippians, and we're going to look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. For God is working in you, giving you, what's the next word? The desire. That desire is not there a lot of times, but He's working in you to give you the desire and the what? And the power to do what pleases Him. We can only do this with his help, amen? We gotta really work hard at coming to God with this. Here's a good definition of unforgiveness. I found a lot of different definitions as I was studying this, but here's probably the best one that I found. Unforgiveness is the deliberate, willful refusal to give up one's resentment and the right to get even based on the attitude that someone has to pay for the wrong done. That might be a good one to write down. Unforgiveness is the deliberate, willful refusal to give up one's resentment and the right to get even based on the attitude that someone has to pay for the wrong that's been done. Do you know what happens to a person when they refuse to forgive? It starts affecting you. It will start hindering your life. First of all, I think it's going to hinder your prayer life. 2 weeks ago, PD taught us on how we can pray. But if we are going to hold on to that bitterness and resentment and not forgive, it will start hindering your prayer life. It will hinder the worship that we will do when Gary leads that in a little bit. It will hinder your worship. You won't feel like worshiping God. It will also hinder your giving, whether it's your time, your talent, or your treasures. It will hinder those parts of your life. Literally, it will block your spiritual growth. You will get to the point where you don't even feel like picking up the Word of God because where is He? He's not helping me. So it'll block your spiritual growth. Then it will start to hinder those people around you. And then this is the worst part to me, is it will start trickling down. It'll trickle down to your children and your grandchildren because they are watching how you and I handle life. And if you and I choose not to forgive, guess what our kids are more likely to do? Hold on to the same thing and not forgive. Have you ever noticed hospitals are full? They're running over with sick people. People that have chronic illnesses. Why are we so sick today? Why do you think we're so sick today? I think as a people, what we tend to do is we take all the stuff that's happening in our lives and we try to stuff it. We stuff it right down here and we don't want to deal with it. And I think what we have to do is we have to learn how to deal with it or we're going to live with it. And more than likely, if we choose to live with it, eventually it'll probably kill us because we will be so out there in resentment and hatred. It's literally impossible to live in complete obedience when we allow someone else to control our emotions. It's impossible because we let other people control how we respond and how we feel. I'll forgive him when he apologizes to me. How's that working out? You know, I'll forgive him when he apologizes to me. He's not done it yet, so guess what you and I are going to do? We're going to hold on to the hurt because they have not apologized yet. Truth is, he may never, ever forgive me or you. May just look at you and go, It's your problem. It's not my problem. Many not even care, may not even realize what he's done. So guess what? I end up stewing over something that he has long ago forgotten. Who's it hurting more, him or me? It's hurting me more. It will start eating me up from the inside out. The lesson simply is don't hold on to the hurt. If we continue to hold on to the hurt, it's only going to lead to resentment, and resentment will eat you alive. Someone once said this, resentment and unforgiveness is the poison that we drink hoping someone else will die. Is that not true? Because that's what happens. We drink it hoping they're going to die, and we're the ones that suffer for it. Here's what we have to do. We need to release the offense and the offender to God. Is that easy to do? No, it's not. But it's the best thing that we can do. I don't want to give that moment any more minutes. It's had enough minutes in my life. See, the windshield that's how you and I can respond to evil with good this morning. And then number four, we need to refocus on God's plan for your life. We need to refocus. We need to stop focusing on the hurt, looking in the rearview mirror, and we need to stop focusing on the person that has hurt us, because that makes it hard to refocus on God. Because God has a plan and purpose for your life this morning. You do know that. Jeremiah 29:11. Says this, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for what? They're plans for good, not for a disaster, to give you a future and a hope." We have a good God that loves you and I today, and he wants good things for us. And as long as you and I continue to focus on the person that has hurt us, guess who controls us? That person. That person continues to control us. And here's the scary part. If we don't release our offender, we will eventually become like them. That should be the scary part. This is a story about two brothers who lived side by side in their own farms for many years, until one day a foolish argument caused a rift between them. This was the first serious disagreement that the brothers had had in all of their 50 years. Up until that day, they had always worked their fields together. They shared knowledge and produce, and they lent a helping hand to one another in times of need. The fight began over a small misunderstanding, which can sometimes happen, but the dispute dragged on, and it became an angry exchange of words followed by weeks and weeks of silence. One day, there was a knock at the older brother's door. And when he opened it, he was facing an old bearded carpenter with a toolbox. "I could sure use some work, sir," the stranger said. "Do you need any repairs on your farm?" "Yes," replied the brother, "I've got a job for you. You see, across the creek, there's a farm that happens to belong to my younger brother. And until recently, the whole area between our homes was nice and green, but that all changed when he changed the creek's path, making it into a border between us. I'm sure he did that for spite, but I'm going to show him," said the older brother. "You see that pile of lumber down by the tree, down by the barn? I want you to build me a fence, a 10-foot-tall fence. I don't ever want to see my brother's face again." The old carpenter thought quietly to himself for a few moments and eventually said, "I see." So the farmer helped the carpenter carry the tools and the wood, and he drove off to town to run some errands while the carpenter was working. When he came back in the evening, the old carpenter had finished. Upon arriving to the creek, the older brother was stunned. His eyes were bulging out, and he couldn't utter a single word. Where a fence should have been standing, a bridge now stood. A quaint and special bridge, truly a work of art, with an intricately carved banister. And at the same time, the younger brother happened to come to the same spot. And he rushed over the bridge and he embraced his brother. And they cried and they hugged each other. And the younger brother said, "You're something special, building a bridge after all I have said and done." And while the brothers were hugging, the old carpenter collected his tools and started walking away. Then the brothers turned to him and said, oh, please don't leave. We've got so many more things that need to be fixed. And he said, I'd love to stay, but I have more bridges to build and things that need to be fixed in other places. You see what we do when we hold grudges against people? We often let our anger push us away from the ones we love the most. Isn't that not true? And we allow our pride to come between us before our love does. So I'm here to tell you today, I just hope that you'll make a promise to me this morning that you will choose not to sit one more day in your resentment. And if you're holding on to pain that someone's caused you, because we live with this pain, it's time to let it go. It's time to go through this four-step process. Here's the cool part. When we confess our sins to God, you know what he does? He doesn't rub it into us. He doesn't rub it in. You know what he does? He wipes it out. He gets rid of it. There's a right and a wrong way to ask for forgiveness. Here's the wrong way. I don't want us to go to God and beg like a bunch of school kids. You know, we don't want to be begging God. God wants to forgive you this morning more than you want to ask. He's just waiting for you. Why do we continually not go to him? We're like Adam and Eve after they sinned, and they go, and what did they do? They realized they were naked, and they hid from God. You and I can't hide from God. And the sooner we figure that out, the better. We can't hide from him. We need to run to him. Don't bargain with God. Don't say, well, God, if you forgive me, I'll never do this again. Be careful. Because if that is a weakness in your life, what will you probably do again? You'll probably do it again. So don't bargain with him with that. And then don't bribe him. Don't say, well, God, if you forgive me, then I'll go to church every Sunday. I'll read my Bible every day. I'll tithe more money. He doesn't want your bargain. He doesn't want your bribe. He doesn't want you to beg. All he wants you to do is believe the promises that he gives you and I. And one of those you found out today was that if we confess our sin, he is what? He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So I want you, at the bottom of your notes, there's four promises that I think would be helpful for us to really practice as we go out of here today. The first one is, I promise I will not dwell on this incident. I promise I will not bring up this incident and use it against you. I promise I will not talk to others about this incident. Nick talked about gossip last week. That's gossip. Don't bring it up. Don't talk about it to others. And number four, I promise I will not allow this incident to stand between us or hinder our personal relationship like those two brothers did. We need to learn from our past. We don't want to live in the past. I don't want to continually look into the rearview mirror of my life. How about you? So in just wrapping this up, recognize no one's perfect. That's our first step. Relinquish our right to get even. We need to choose compassion over retaliation. Respond to evil with good. That's tough. I know it is. But when we forgive them, guess what we do? We are freed up. We are freed up. We don't want to be brought down to the other person's level. And that's what happens when we respond to evil with evil. And then last, refocus on God's plan for your life, because he wants you and I to forgive, and he wants us to find freedom as we refocus his plan for us. I don't want you and I to go another day living with resentment and bitterness and having that in your unforgiving heart. I pray that you and I will walk out of here today and we will start building bridges and not walls. Amen? We need to start building bridges. So in closing, do you have a sin that pops up in your life? I don't know if there's any papers on your tables or not, but if you got something you can spend a little time with God with, I want you to take just a couple of minutes and just everybody be quiet and you take just a couple minutes and think about what God might be talking to you right now. Do you have a sin that keeps popping up in your life? What is God waiting on you to confess this morning? Do you need to forgive someone or do you need to forgive yourself? So I want you just to take a couple minutes and just you and God think about that and write it on a piece of paper, and then I'll give you an exercise to do in a minute. If you have a Bible with you, I'd like you to open your Bible up somewhere, anywhere you want with your Bible. If you don't have your Bible with you, I hope that you'll take this piece of paper home and do this when you get home. But if you have a Bible, just open it up. And what I'd like you to do is place that piece of paper in your Bible, and I would like you to shut it. Now, let me ask you something. Can you see that paper right now? No, you can't. You can't see that paper right now. What do you see? You only see the Bible. That's the way God sees us. That's the way He sees us when Jesus is in our lives. He no longer sees our sin. He literally sees Jesus at work in our lives. Because when you and I come to Christ, He wraps us with His love. And He holds on to us tight. And when God looks at you and I, He doesn't see Jesus. When you and I stand in front of the mirror, we need to quit seeing ourselves there. We need to start seeing God's perfect Son, Jesus, because that's what He sees, is Jesus. So let's pray. Father, thank You for Your love and Your grace. Thank You for sending Your Son to this earth to be an example for us as He walked this earth in a perfect way, knowing that we could never be perfect, but He has set an example for us how to live. So we thank You for that example and pray, Lord, that You'd help us to learn to forgive and ask for forgiveness. May we walk out of here this morning and make a difference this week in our walk with You. May we begin building bridges and not walls. And we thank You for it in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen.